As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Millions of Americans are using prescribed medicines daily and putting up with the risk of side effects. If you feel trapped on lifelong drugs and want off of them, there is a way. Pharmaceutical products create a weakness and dependency. Eventually, weakness leads to failure. The solution is sources that are strengtheners, which lead to restoration. Contact Apothecary Herbs for their free product catalog and discover what professional strength herbal formulas can do for your heart, kidneys, pancreas, digestion, prostate, brain, and more. Call now 866-229-3663 or visit online thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order and empower yourself. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. We got a great show. Magical Engineer Frank and I got a great show. We're going to be talking about understanding viruses. Yep, got some new insights for you. We give you a little leverage when you communicate with the old white coat. And we're also going to talk about hopefully how to deal with nerve damage and some other things. We got a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting this nation up in prayer. Hope you're hitting the knees and seeking the Lord's face. Today's devotional is in the third chapter of Proverbs, and we're in verse 5, and we're instructed to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. And in all our ways, we should acknowledge the Lord, and he shall direct our paths. And be not wise in your own eyes, and fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's right. You know, he's the big cheese. He's the master. He's the guy you go to, and he's not going to let you down, you know, especially when you have a relationship with him. And you have a relationship with him when you read his word and you talk to him every day. So mind the time, it grows short, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker. Guess what? They say male doctors are disappearing from a specialty in medicine, gynecology. That's right. In the 70s, 7% of gynecologists were women. Now 59% are women. Some men say that they're falling out of this specialty, OBGYN, because more women prefer not to have a male doctor examine them. So patients are legally able to discriminate by sex in this case. They choose their physician, and women feel more comfortable sometimes talking about intimate health topics with another woman. So I find this is a trend that's very interesting. It used to be dominated by men, but now it's becoming, well, a thing of the past for them. I guess they're going to go into urology. I guess that's what they're going to do. Last but not least in the quack report, we're going to get into a little bit of this in this first segment of the show, a little bit on male fertility. It seems to be there a crisis out there. And male fertility, the average sperm count on men has dived by 52% over the last 40 years, and medicine doesn't know why. They don't understand it. Some men are, you know, having children later in life, and it's becoming more difficult for couples to conceive because sperm count seems to be on the downside, reducing fertility options. We could talk about that. There are some great herbs out there for men and women to improve their options with or their, you know, chances of having a family. And they're splendid herbs. They've been around for millennia, and they work. So check out your options before you go for surgery and drugs, please. And that wraps the quack report. Yeah, Frank points out something interesting. If a man says he doesn't want a female doctor, he's called sexist. Yeah, I guess, yeah, it can, you know, especially if you're talking about sensitive things, you know. Men want a male doctor. I think in medicine they don't push it, though. I mean, patients, you know, whatever makes you comfortable. All right, so let's talk about understanding viruses. I have something. Frank, do you have any idea what a virus is? And is it alive or dead? Do you want to give your input? So while he's scratching his noggin there, you know, I have to say, without true knowledge, you have no understanding, right? You may be taught something, but does that make it truthful? Frank says the thing that is not, he doesn't think it's alive. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to get into seeing if Frank here is right or not. You know, unfortunately, what's happening within our medical schools, in our veterinarian schools, with regard to certain treatments, we've got non-truth, not all the truth being taught. So medical physicians and veterinarians are not being taught the whole truth when it comes to viruses. And also antiviral medications, and of course your vaccines. So when health professionals are ignorant and they're working with an inferior premise, and the public's not aware of any difference, well, this is a formula for disaster. This is humanity going down a path where more virulent man-made diseases, and no drug's going to be able to stop. And we're going to get into some of these facts here in a minute. Yep, is a virus dead or alive? Well, science instructs physicians with regard to live and dead viruses, especially when it comes to your antiviral treatments. who in turn instruct their patients. So physicians will tell patients, you know, we're going to use a dead virus. It's not a live virus. It's not as potent. And, you know, especially if they want to treat you with a vaccine. And this often puts people at ease when they're concerned about vaccines. This is often told to patients, especially pregnant women, for instance, or people with vaccine sensitivities. But is this true, you know? And does it change the risk for patients when receiving treatments like the flu vaccine? So are viruses alive or dead? Well, according to virologist Dr. Ran Cancielo, he says viruses are not dead and they're not alive either. They are simply protein blueprints, and these proteins invade living cells where they have the the needed elements, I guess, to replicate. And then they can also combine with other pathogens and create another disease even. So expectant moms need to remember this when doctors want to vaccinate them with a so-called less virulent dead virus. Everyone needs to remember this. Dr. Ranciello says this, "This explains why in humans and animals, the injected vaccines result in viral infections exploiting your weakest area or can manifest in disease about 35 years later. The viruses can combine with other pathogens and cause multiple illnesses, and this makes artificial infection by vaccines a very serious matter." He goes on to say, "Most people are unaware that the level of contamination in the body by vaccines creates a ticking time bomb and can hasten the victim to their deaths. Proprietary protection laws have for decades shielded the deadly ingredients within vaccines." Are you shaken yet? I mean, I read that and I went, whoa. Well, and you're probably saying, but this can't be happening. This is doctors. This is medicine. Well, let me just put it to you this way. The killer of truth is the love of money. Holy Bible tells you that. That's right. Well, let's see. This is a quote from Dr. Harris Coulter, author of Mark of the Beast Hidden in Plain Sight, who says, "Violence, criminality, low IQ, aggression, anger can all be linked to vaccines. Common fevers, encephalitis, high-pitched crying, neurological disorders, and learning disabilities follow vaccinations and are also occurring in animals, but this is not being recognized." Dr. Ron Schultz says, "There is a lot of genetic damage going on with vaccines. Children who survive the many vaccines within their vaccine schedule will grow up not able to think." There was a French study done at California David Hospital which showed that vaccinated puppies are more difficult to train. So vaccine damage, he says, is genetic. It's passed on. Most of the outbreaks of infectious disease are from the production, manufacture, research, transportation, storage, and administration of vaccine serums. All of this is documented. End of quote. Whoa. I love it when truth comes together, you know. Now, Dr. Ron Schultz says this, "Vaccines are not legitimate. They are not safe, and they are not necessary to protect us from disease. Vaccines are an indefensible practice." And Dr. Edie West says, "Aluminum in the vaccines is causing cancer, as admitted in 1999 by the WHO, NATO, and the International Agency for Research on Cancer." You know, I guess you're not hearing this on major news, right? You're not seeing this in the Washington Post, right? You're not seeing it. They don't, I mean, because there's a million reasons why, $1 million reasons why. Vaccines create money. It's the most highly guarded secret in medicine. Dr. Anthony Norris told me that, former chief virologist of the FDA. All right, Dr. Eddie West goes on to say, "Aluminum, get this, this is important, aluminum lets heavy metals, including mercury, into the brain along with the viruses. One thing that's too large to enter the brain is immune system antibodies." Dr. Mark Girard, author of Reformatting Hippocrates Principles, goes on to say this: vaccines have never made their case for safety, efficiency, or necessity against disease. The level of fraud in science is terrible. We, as physicians, are certainly not first do no harm, end of quote. Well, somebody's got to stand up and stop this. You guys, you doctors out there that know what you're talking about, you're scientists, you're highly respected. If you know the truth, you need to stand together. Get together and make a stand. You know, make some news about it. Because people are dying. Pets are dying out there. Because this is a big machine, and people, they have to understand that they're really under attack by their healthcare industry. And healthcare professionals are, for the most part, ignorant of the damage they're inflicting on their patients. And there is this segment of health professionals that are aware, but they're holding their peace. You know, it's you know, the pharmaceuticals are very powerful. They have deep pockets. And one of the largest manufacturers of vaccine serums, get this, is this $500 million facility that's owned by Novartis in North Carolina. They're harvesting dog kidneys and growing their pathogen of poison on dog kidneys there. Dr. Girard says conventional medicine is actually the very reason we are all suffering deconstructed health, producing chronic disease and behavioral illnesses. Well, I like that term. It really sums it up. Deconstructed health. Your healthcare system is on a course of deconstructed health. Now, I will say, you know, I will say this, that, you know, trauma care is a necessity. If you're in a car accident, yeah, your doctors, your nurses, your physical therapists, all these people can help you. But it's this other segment of medicine that's completely evil. Completely. All right, let's look at the sexes. We have been flooded with news reports, and we mentioned this in the Quack Report, that both men and women are really having a lot of hormone dysfunction. So within the last 40 years, the sperm count of men declined about 52%. It's believed by some health experts that it's a combination of a lot of these toxic assaults, you know, vaccines, fluoride, aluminum, mercury. They say it's causing a lot of endocrine disruption, and the endocrine system manufactures your hormones. And they say this is leading to a precarious hormone level, precarious hormone levels that are offering, you know, diseases. And science has confirmed that male children are more sensitive to mercury and increases their risk of autism by 200%. And many believe that the sexual identity crisis, this gender confusion, has a part in all this toxicity. They think that's what's, you know, at the base of it. Actually, what was that, Italian virologist, he says you can make heterosexual monkeys homosexual with vaccines. It's a study he did. Well, you know, we got a human cesspool going on because, you know, people, oh, they don't know. They don't understand vaccine serums now are infested with venereal disease. Did you know that? Frank, did you know that? Yeah. And there's spermicides in these vaccines, too, which probably contributed to the virility problem. So what is a spermicide doing in a vaccine? You got to understand these things. You got to understand. Mankind cannot allow this assault to continue and accept the excuse that these devastating diseases are expected under what is called unintended consequences of vaccinations. That has been spoken in the halls of Congress. Inexcusable. So this herd immunity concept was really conceived in 1918 when the first vaccine test killed millions. You remember the Spanish flu. That was actually a vaccine that did that. Oh, yeah, that was the test. They learned a lot from that test. They learned to, they've changed their vaccines to be more subtle in killing people. So these are really not nice people behind the biggest medical fraud in history. And the results of vaccines have caused irregular immune system function, chronic diseases, endocrine system dysfunction, genetic disorders, learning disabilities, and even premature death. Here's a quote from Dr. Andrew Wakefield, who says, The vaccinated versus the non-vaccinated population studies reveal that extensive damage from vaccines is evident and that the damage is accumulative. So there is a rise in pathology, the endocrine disruption, neurological damage, digestive tract damage, immune system damage. He says everything, including behavioral. So this is a cumulative. That's why when you get a flu shot year after year after year, you make your immune system weaker and weaker and weaker, and you become more susceptible to a deadly flu pathogen. Wakefield goes on to say, there is no real funding for studies to prove vaccines are dangerous. Those making money from vaccines won't allow studies that would make vaccines unsellable. Any studies exposing the truth are privately funded. End of quote. Okay, so, you know, these are scientists, you know. Well, let's look at the viral arsenal, because according to Science's, the Encyclopedia of Life, they have identified over 5,000 different viruses that are so small, conventional microscopes cannot detect them. So the study of viruses is called virology, and it often falls within the field of microbiology. So when virologists state viruses are only proteins and are not dead or alive life forms, they mean it. Viruses need a host to survive, and they need egg, animal, kidney, or plants to be cultivated on. And they are very adaptable and can become new types of viruses. So in science, viruses are one of the most studied pathogens. There's so many, they are named by class and subgroup. And some viruses are so deadly that they can even kill bacteria, and those are called bacteriophages. Now, viruses prefer a host that contains carbon, and they can find hosts in soil, water, aerosols, which would be your body fluids, and they can infect plants, animals, and humans. They can survive for a short time outside of a host, and viruses are constructed similar to prions, known for, you know, producing mad cow's disease, which is kind of concerning. And when they're viewed under a microscope, viruses have many different forms, shapes, almost as unique as a snowflake. So the pathology of viruses can vary. However, most invade and cause cell death. So if massive cell death occurs, acute metabolic disruption and mortality result. So viruses are capable to remain in a dormant state to later attack the body, and some viruses remain in the host for life. An example would be your venereal diseases or some of forms of your hepatitis. Now, viruses have distinct attack characteristics, which I found fascinating. The way they attack you, the pathways they like to use. Science admits that prevention of these viruses is nearly impossible because they're so microscopic in size. So here are their likely targets. This is where viruses like to get their pathways. The respiratory system, digestive system, your hydration system or your body fluids, and of course your dermis system, which would be your skin. Now, depending on the strength or virulence of your virus, it can cause severe health risk. And the common viruses we tend to struggle with are your cold sore or herpes viruses, your chickenpox, of course, it's under that similar category, rhinoviruses, also known as common cold, HIV, influenza, Marburg and Ebola, Hantaviruses, avian influenza, and hepatitis. Let me read you a quote from the Encyclopedia of Life. It states, viruses are totally separate, a separate form of organism. They are sometimes a complex protein, but they are not a life form such as a cellular organism. 1 millimeter, that's 0.03 ounces of seawater, can contain 900 million viruses. And viruses are capable of replicating every 20 minutes. End of quote. Well, let's do a little viral calculation, not to gross anybody out there. But viruses travel. They like to use your body fluids to do that. A sneeze, for instance, can contain 40,000 tiny droplets that contain 16,000 viral pathogens inside them. So aerosol viruses of this nature can suspend in air for hours. And a sneeze on, let's say, an elevator or inside an airplane can infect many people. Yep, many people. Frank, you want to guess what surfaces more viruses are on that people can infect themselves with? You want to take a guess? He's thinking. Wood. What? How often do you touch wood there, Frank? No, gas pump handle at the gas station, right? You know, the shopping cart handle, everybody's swiping them with, you know, the antibacterial wipes, you know, your shopping cart handle, handles to doors, opening and closing doors. In the hospital, it's the patient bed rail, their chart, and their IV stand, their fluid stand, all contaminated usually, and also any doorknobs. Or that's why a lot of times, you know, doctors don't open doors. They lean into them to open them and stuff. They try not to touch them. Well, let's get into strengthening your immune system, shall we? Because with so many pathogens to contend with, the last thing we need is to inject them into our bloodstream. That is dumb, especially when you don't create an antibody doing that. Strengthen the immune system because it's very capable of defending you against these viral infections. And it's also, the immune system has adaptive capabilities, so it can deal with the mutated versions of your viruses. So a few herbs that are really going to strengthen the immune system, because they contain lots of vitamins and minerals that the immune system can use. Echinacea root, garlic, astragalus root, cayenne. You might want to look for the full line of immune strengthening herb formulas. They have a lot of broad spectrum support at Apothecary Herbs. They have sinus infection, bronchitis, influenza type of formulas. And they're going to be all easier to deal with when your immune system is strong and supported with a lot of nutrition. And you get complex, concentrated nutrition in your herbs. They're medicinal, right? And that's why they're bitter, because if they tasted like a strawberry, you'd eat too much. Okay, so there are also herbs that will inhibit, get this, chicken pox and Ebola. Yep, yep. And the folks that can tell you about that is Apothecary Herbs. You give them a call. You can order on their website, call an order, or order through the mail through with their catalog. Get a free catalog. The number to call, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. That's toll free in the U.S. and Canada. And give them a visit at their website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. It's a game changer. It's professional strength stuff you can't get in stores. Woo! Check it out, The Power Herbs. It's where healthcare options just became endless. Protection, protection, and protection. I know, Frank, I got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Looking for an herb book with healing secrets that will empower you? You will want the Power Herbs book, filled with chapters on how to purge more toxins, best way to boost your immune system, how to make basic herbal tinctures, plus there's a symptom herb reference guide. Written by herbalist Wendy Wilson, the Power Herbs book offers hundreds of pages of essential information you won't want to be without, all for just $14.99. Available only in e-book formats for iPad, Kindle, and PDF. To order your copy today, visit thepowerherbs.com and download your Power Herbs e-book for just $14.99. Don't wait another minute to be empowered with natural solutions for everyday problems. Order the Power Herbs ebook now at thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Go green. Herb Talk Live, green. Now with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Get me home. Oh, I love that retro stuff, Frank. Awesome. We're back here on Herb Talk, and we're going to be talking about nerves, helping your nerves. Do you have some nerve damage? Did you have maybe, you know, a concussion? Did you get in a car accident? Did you have a fall? Maybe did you have a vaccine that didn't settle too well? Well, we're going to talk about nerve damage because we often don't really think about having to deal with nerves much unless, of course, you know, we've been in an accident, we've had some trauma. But nerve damage can happen really at any time. Drugs can give you a nerve damage. I was just talking to someone this week who was taking Lyrica, you know, that drug they advertise for, diabetic neuropathy, you know, numbness and tingling in your feet. Well, it also blocks that in your feet nerves, but in the nerves in your feet, but it also blocks the nerve action in your colon so that you're constipated. So it's one of the side effects of taking the drug is that you can't have a bowel movement without, you know, a suppository or some sort of assistance. Well, anyway, we're going to be talking about how we can deal with, damaged nerves. You know, loud music, exposure to, like, wind disruption with the solar power wind turbines, they can damage the tender nerves in your ear, you know. Dental implants can cause nerve damage. Nerve damage can be caused by a lot of things, even, like I said, substances we're using. Emotional abuse can also cause damage to our nerves. We may not think our emotions have that kind of power, but they do. You know, nerve-wracking experiences is an expression. So let's take a look at what can sneak up on us and really mess our nerve function up and what we can do about it. First, let's look at some of the drugs that can damage our nerves because millions of people are taking prescription meds that can cause a lot of temporary or even permanent nerve damage. Now, the diabetics are at a high risk of developing nerve damage because of the excessive sugar causing poor circulation to small capillaries that feed the nerves. And so here's a list that's really nowhere near complete, but you can get the idea. And you should do some research on your medicines before you actually use them. And one thing I tell people is you're only going to get the most common top 10 from the pharmacist. If you want a full list, you got to dig for it either on the internet or look at a physician's desk reference, which bookstores and libraries have. So your anti-alcoholic drugs, so if you're coming off, you know, alcohol abuse, you're alcoholic and you're trying to get off, those drugs can really mess up your nervous system because they give those type of drugs to people with epilepsy and seizures. Also, anti-convulsant drugs, cancer drugs, your heart blood pressure drugs, especially the vasodilators and the loop diuretics and the angina pain type of medicines, your chemotherapy medication, as well as your antibiotics that fight infections, urinary tract infection medicines, as well as skin disease drugs, tuberculosis medications, skin conditioning drugs, aspirin is on the list, and the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories are also on the list. And the older I get and the more I do this, I hear people are so messed up with the treatments they're getting, the medical treatments, the prescription drug treatments. Shane Ellison's book, if you're starting a natural health library, get Shane Ellison's book. It's Over-the-Counter Natural Cures. It's a great book. He's a chemist, but he shows people what a lot of these medications do to you on a metabolic level in plain language, so you know why you're feeling the way you're feeling when you're taking, let's say, you know, cardiovascular, cholesterol drugs or whatever. So it's good to understand what's going on, right? And one thing people are figuring out is the drugs only deal with their symptoms, not the cause of their problems. So they still have their problem, and sooner or later, the drugs don't work at masking the symptoms, and then they got a big, big problem they haven't dealt with for a decade. All right. Now, if you're taking medications which are causing nerve damage, some of the symptoms you may want to look for are the numbness or loss of sensation. A lot of people, you know, with the peripheral neuropathy, they're on drugs that block the pain from the nerve damage, but then they fall down a lot because they don't have any sensation in their feet and they can't feel the floor. They can't. Ambulating's a problem. Also, medications that make, you know, your extremities maybe tingle or your face tingle, abnormal sensations that tend to first occur in your extremities and then move to other parts of the body, any weakness that you may feel, as well as maybe loss of hearing or some loss of body function like bladder control. All right. Well, so what would be the typical treatments? Well, the medical establishment, well, yeah, it likes to prescribe a lot of medications. And one thing I was explaining this week to somebody is your side effects. I mean, we just bat that word around like it's, you know, pancake batter. It's nothing. It's just so common. We hear it all the time. It doesn't sound any alarms at all, but it should. Side effect is a secondary disease. And do you know how I know a side effect is a secondary disease? Do you know how I know, Frank? I wonder if he knows. You want to take a guess? Why is a side effect a secondary disease? Do anybody want to take a guess at that? Well, it's because according to medical ethics and legal reasons, doctors cannot prescribe a medication for anything that's not got a diagnosis of a disease. So let's say you take a drug and you get this side effect. The doctor prescribes you another drug for the side effect. Well, that's because the first drug gave you a disease, and now he's prescribing a medicine for that second disease you now have. So side effect is a disease, by the way. All right, so the medical establishment likes to prescribe a lot of medications to manage your symptoms. Nerve damage is not, you know, eliminated from that protocol. Some of the prescriptions you're going to get are pain medicines, or neuropathy drugs or antidepressants. Typically, those are the categories of drugs that they use to deal with nerve damage. Now, there was a study by Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, in Ohio. It was done in 2017, and they reported that our immune system has a positive role to play with regard to nerves. So we know the immune system protects us from infections and then removes the debris of the dead pathogens once the antibodies kill it. So the research team actually discovered that the immune system assists in a similar way by helping clear debris from nerves to help them regenerate and repair. Isn't that cool? So the immune system cells that perform this function for your nerves are called neurotrophophils, and the neurotrophophil cells are also used by the immune system to surround microorganisms to keep them from spreading. They also show up around your nerves when there's a diabetic nerve damage happening, for instance. And science thought that these cells were, you know, causing the nerve damage. This is so much science knew. But now they've discovered that the cells are trying to contain the damage or protect the nerves and regenerate them at the same time. So isn't your immune system wonderful? So you don't want to do anything to sabotage it, and that includes antibiotics and vaccines. So the research about this was published in the Journal of Neuroscience, October 2017, if you want to check it out. Now, a lot of times your nervous system will send you signals like an SOS. People just ignore a bunch of signals. They really do. So what the research team also discovered that the nerves send out signals for help to the immune system by producing a stream of what is called molecule signals called CXCL1 and CXCL2. So these are signals that engage the neutrophilous cells that lead them to the injured cells. So like a little breadcrumb trail, if you will. So if you have any damaged nerves, the nervous system produces many more times the average amount of molecule signals to get the attention of your immune system. And once the immune system cells arrive at the injury site, they engulf the nerves and then take away cellular debris to try to protect the nerves, help them regenerate and repair. And a lot of times the cellular debris is causing the damage, so that's a good thing. Now, the immune system clears this area, and the nerve cells then are able to regenerate. So the scientists used this analogy of this cleanup crew that tends to clear away the debris, sort of left by a tornado, if you will, so that the area could be rebuilt again. So that was an analogy the scientists used in their study. So here's a quote from one of the research professors, Dr. Jan Lindborg, from Case Western Reserve University, says, "The clearance of debris after an injury is necessary to allow for effective nerve regeneration. We have identified the benefit of the immune cells, called neutrophils, to facilitate debris removal after injury, and it's been shown to be important in promoting regeneration or even served, even for severed nerves." Very good. So let's look at some immune system foes that would really derail this whole thing. There are plenty of immune system assassins out there that can interfere with immune system function and rescue of your nervous system and regenerating nerve tissue. So here's a partial list of those things that suppress and attack immune function: sugar, vaccines, prescription drugs, especially antibiotics, and alcohol. So let's look at some herbs that can help us regenerate then our nervous system. So if you have nerve trauma and you want to help them out, you may want to make sure that your immune system's working fine. And there are plenty of immune support herbs that you can utilize as well. But herbs like echinacea root, we mentioned that. You can use that for 2 or 3 weeks and then take a break from it. Astragalus root, part of Arco Innobark, and garlic, all great for helping the immune system power up. Herbs that offer some boosting power, again, to the first set of herbs, you can layer in Siberian or American ginseng. And cayenne pepper is really great at circulating a bunch of the immune system cells around the body quickly. So if you want to kind of cut to the chase, I always add a hot cayenne. All right, so herbs that I like to use for nerve repair, and by the way, these are herbs that they wake up the nervous system, so they don't really shut it down. So St. John's wort, a lot of times they use it as a depression to take off stress from the nerves without making them sleepy. So this is like taking the cellular stress off, so it's not a suppressant per se. Celery seed, I like to use that for nerves. Nerves can become restless and cause pain or spasming. So the celery seed stops that and also prevents any inflammation from happening on the nerve itself. Lavender reduces nerve pain. And kola nut stimulates nerves and reduces nerve pain. And coffee bean stimulates nerves and wakes them up if they tend to be a bit sluggish from the damage. So these aren't going to, like, you know, put your nerves to sleep like Lyrica would. This is going to wake them up. Okay? So if you got peripheral neuropathy, we're not going to use herbs for your nerve endings. What we're going to do is clean up the blood system because it's laden with too much sugar and it's bothering your nerves. So really it's the blood system that needs cleansing. So, you know, you got ways to regenerate the system. You got herbs that help your system do that. Okay, so this is nerve repair via herbs, which are containing super nutrients to help the nervous system out. So you can find the nerve regenerator formula, which we mentioned these herbs already, at Apothecary Herbs, and you can check it out at thepowerherbs.com. And, you know, they got herbs for, you know, headaches, different types of headaches, you know, stress, headache, vascular headache, also known as migraine. There's a lot of herbs you can use for vascular issues, as, and, you know, hypertension and vasodilators. There's herbs that can replace a slew of things out there that are prescribed that are having lots of side effects for folks, or secondary diseases. Let's get the terminology right. Secondary diseases. So thepowerherbs.com, or give them a call. Get a free catalog and get empowered. The number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. All right, we got a few minutes. I want to talk about, I got quite a few calls this week, which was unusual, on one specific topic, and it was dry eye. And we've covered this before, but I thought we'd kind of just roll over it one more time briefly and help people out there. Because dry eye is affecting like 20 million United States Americans here. 40% regular basis. And you know what? A lot of people are creating, they're getting the dry eye from using eye drops, like Visine drops for redness and stuff. You can create a dry eye problem using that stuff. So we've got keratinitis, which is the Latin term for inflamed or dry eyes. The condition can also involve your cornea and your tear film in the inner lining of your eyelid that covers the white part of your eye. It's called the conjunctiva. So according to an eye questionnaire that was by McConey and Ho, they found that about 45-year-old females, especially menopausal women, tend to be more susceptible to conditions of dry eye. So we're going to check this out. So the conjunctiva of the eye, what it does is it helps lubricate your eye, produces this thin layer of clear mucus, and also it has tears in there, tear fluid. And it's aside from your tear duct glands, and it also helps prevent infections. When I read stuff like that, you know what I think of? I think of the Egyptians. You know, they would have this eyeliner, this black eyeliner all around their eyes, you know, the ancient Egyptians. Well, they came to find out that this wasn't makeup. This was to prevent eye infections in their moist environment near the Nile. And we just read how many viral pathogens can be in a few ounces of water. So they had a plan, and it was, you know, to put a perimeter around their eyes to prevent infection. And it tended to work, actually. All right, so in addition to having this dry feeling in your eyes, your eyes feel tired and heavy. It's almost like you can't hold them open. And people with dry eye say they feel this scratchy or sandy, gritty feeling, or even a stinging sensation and pain. Of course, redness also there. Oddly enough, dry eye problem can also irritate enough to cause the eyes to water, but your eyes still feel dry. Because the reflex response for tears can be different than the lubricating qualities that the eye needs to prevent dry eye. So it's a different protein solution, and it's just not cutting it. Now, symptoms become worse if you're in windy weather, with humidity. Standing under a ceiling fan or having an air conditioner from your car blowing your face going to be a problem for you. About 76% of those with dry eye say their condition becomes more severe over time because they're just using wetting drops. They're not getting at the cause of the dry eye. So some of the causes, you know, working long hours on computers, you're straining your eyes. Maybe you haven't had your eyes checked and you need to update your prescription. Dehydration, because you're drinking too much caffeine or alcohol. Wearing contact lenses can also cause dry eye. Hormonal changes can contribute, like menopausal women we mentioned. Those that live in higher altitudes also experience more dry eye. If you have a low vitamin A deficiency, that can contribute to an imbalance in your thyroid, and then you're put on certain medicines which can create dry eye. So medicines like antihistamines, antidepressants, diuretics, oral contraceptives, hormone replacement drugs can all contribute to dry eye. Some medical conditions can also contribute: rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, rosacea, which is inflamed skin, also called adult acne, inflamed cells, any inflammatory disease can contribute. Glaucoma, patients with glaucoma also are on medication eye drops that can also create a dry eye issue. And needless to say, doctors think dry eye mostly stems from just inflammation. As I've noted, dry eye becomes worse If you had also LASIK surgery, you're more susceptible to dry eye. And, of course, eye injury, bulging eyes, droopy eyelids, anything like that can cause also dry eye because we've got a malfunction going on here. Majority of folks say they just have mild irritation. They don't have any long-term complications, and they just don't think it's a problem. But if it persists, if you don't address dry eye, you can get an infection. It can damage your eye. It can impair your vision, even create vision loss. So if you've gone to the eye doctor and they say your eyes look really dry, big red flag. Big red flag. And all they're going to say is give you some samples of eye drops with a bunch of, chemicals in them. What you want to do is avoid drafty environments, smoke, dust. Don't rub your eyes. Avoid cortisone-type products and prescription ointments for skin conditions around the eye. This can increase your risk of glaucoma as well as dry eye. Some sundry items and cosmetic makeup things can make it worse. Avoid alcohol, caffeine, as we mentioned. It'll further dehydrate you. To protect your eyes, from sun, you want to wear, sunglasses, protect them, minimize that discomfort. Hydrate yourself. Drink lots of water. If you're going to use any wetting drops, try to avoid the chemical preservatives. I think it's called Soothe, has a concentration of glycerin and glycol. It's a lower percentage. Some people prefer to use colloidal silver drops. That'll be helpful, especially if there's an infection. But more omega fat acids in the diet. Remember, blink more, especially if you're looking at computer screens and TVs. Warm compresses over the eyes a few times a day help stimulate the glands to help lubricate and hydrate the eyes. And, of course, there are some herbs that I like to use as an eye wash that will help get rid of dry eye pretty much in a skinny minute. So if you're looking for an herbal eye wash, you can go to thepowerherbs.com. They also have the eye wash cups there if you don't have an eye wash cup. And it's just a concentrated liquid, and you just add one drop to an ounce of distilled water, pour that into the eye wash cup, and rinse your eyes. And this is enough. Whatever the inflammation is and the pathogens that are irritating the eye, it helps rinse it away. And, of course, watch the diet. Watch the alcohol and caffeine. Watch those things. If you got some inflammation, you want to hasten the inflammation issue, then get rid of that is what I mean. Use the willow bark and meadow sweet. It's an anti-inflammatory type of herb. We like it in the pain anti-inflammatory liquid. They're both in there. So that's under the pain tab at thepowerherbs.com. Or if you don't do the internet, give them a call and get a catalog, and you can just flip to the pain section under the table of contents. So you have options, you have tools. Women, there's a female section to help for a smooth transition through menopause. There's 6 female herbs in one formula that are very beneficial. So if it's a hormonal thing contributing, you have tools for that as well, and you don't have to put yourself at risk of the secondary diseases from medications that you know as side effects. So give them a call, thepowerherbs.com. They'll send you a catalog free of charge, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. If you want to check them out online, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before you use any product or therapy. And I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.